Many patients are upset to learn that doctors don't take the Hippocratic Oath anymore.
National Review columnist Wesley Smith talking about his presentation at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's a real shame because the Hippocratic Oath protects patient safety. The speech I will give at the conference will describe the consequences of violating Hippocratic values in healthcare and the things that can occur in the healthcare system if we move away from Hippocratic medicine to a more utilitarian bioethics.
You can meet and hear Wesley Smith making the case for the Hippocratic Oath at the one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th in Chicago. Attendance is limited to 500. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
God, give them the moral imagination reject the old keys that we're trying to give them to a planet that we're poisoning by running it on fossil fuels and misplaced priorities. A planet with too many straight white men like me behind the steering wheel, while others have been expected to sit quietly at the back of the bus. But God, you are doing a new thing. Praise be. You are doing a new thing through these graduates. It springs forth and we can feel it. You are making a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert.
That's an excerpt from Pastor Dan Freemeyer's benediction at a Baylor University graduation ceremony. He mentioned there, in just a few words, fossil fuels and, in his words, too many straight white men like me. How did that go over at Baylor University, a traditionally Baptist-associated university? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Terry Mattingly will join us to talk about media coverage of this commencement ceremony wherein that benediction was given and the reaction on the Baylor campus. Dr. Jordan Cooper will join us after that. We continue our series responding to Calvinist proof text today. Baptismal regeneration, the passage is 1 Corinthians 1:17. Then Pastor Jonathan Fisk will join us for our series on the book of Proverbs. We turn to Dame Folly, the forbidden woman, and begin a conversation with Pastor Fisk, author of the books Broken and Echo, in the latter part of Issues Etc. Joining us to talk about media coverage of a controversial benediction delivered at Baylor University's graduation ceremony, Terry Mattingly. He's a regular guest, senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
The commencement ceremony you have recently written about takes place at Baylor on May 18th this year. Baylor has a very conservative reputation. Is the campus really divided over a prayer given by a Baptist minister who said, God, you are doing a new thing?
Well, it's God, you're doing a new thing, but then he proceeded to name a couple of specific issues. I can read the key part of the prayer right at the end. He's speaking, kind of, this is like a prayer request on behalf of the graduates, and I believe this is the entire undergraduate graduation. Baylor is a big enough school that they have like three different graduation rites, you know, for graduate schools and whatever else. But I believe this was the undergraduate, which is the big one, you know, in terms of parents and grandparents. So the them in this sentence is the graduates. God, give them the moral imagination to reject the old keys that we've been trying to give them to a planet that we're poisoning by running it on fossil fuels and misplaced priorities. Fossil fuels, of course, is a fairly big deal in a state like Texas. It's not as oil-driven as it used to be, but oil is still pretty big in Texas. Then the prayer continues, and a planet with too many straight white men like me behind the steering wheel while others have been expected to sit quietly at the back of the bus. Then he says, God, you're doing a new thing, praise be, et cetera, et cetera. The implication being that the new thing is getting rid of the old drivers, including the straight white males, et cetera, et cetera. Now, at Baylor, I mean, that might go over great with everyone at, pick a liberal school, you know, a stereotypical liberal school of a private school nature. That might go over big at Vanderbilt, but it's, you know, somewhere down in the South in Nashville. But like you said, Baylor's reputation is, Waco is Jerusalem on the Brazos. I mean, it's the biggest Baptist educational institution, you know, in the world. And, of course, I'm sitting here in my office with two Baylor diplomas hanging on the wall. I have both an undergraduate degree and a master's degree from Baylor. My entire family, as we would say, has green and gold corpuscles. Members of my family have bled Baylor for a long time. My own period of time at Baylor was a little bit more brutal than that, in the sense that I was studying journalism on that campus, and that's not an easy thing to do. Kind of set many wheels turning in the rest of my life in terms of trying to get Christians to think about journalists and journalists to think about religion. But that's a longer story for another day. My point here, though, is that Baylor is the center of so much drama in the world of Southern Baptists, but Texas Baptists in general. And I think listeners need to understand that when you get into states like Texas or Georgia or Alabama, you get into these real, what we think of as Bible Belt states, what that really means is that there are so many Baptists there. We used to say that Waco had more Baptists than people. You're in an area where Baptist life is so huge that it's also extremely complex. I mean, and among the churches of Waco, even when I was there in the 70s, you would have had churches that ranged all the way from being very conservative all the way over to churches that, as the old Texas saying would go, they're basically Unitarians with better preaching. And everything in between. And normal Baptist life in Waco is not going to be uniformly conservative. And Baylor has had a strong left wing for decades. So when something like this happens, a few people cheer when a prayer like that gets said. You can hear them on the YouTube. A lot of people get really mad because of what he said. A lot of other people get mad because it's taken an issue that was being argued about in private and pulled it out into the open. And a lot of people just sit there quietly kind of smirking because they actually agree with him. They're glad he said it. And oh boy, isn't this fight going to be fun? You would have at least those four camps sitting in that audience. And I hope I haven't gone too inside Baylor for people, but I'm also answering your question. Is Baylor that divided? And the answer by all means is yes. As conservative as the school's image is, yes, it was that divided. I can translate this briefly. In Catholic education, you obviously have Catholic schools, and then you have schools that are actually Catholic, right? I think our listeners would know that. If we have any Missouri Synod Lutherans or ELCA Lutherans, what was higher education like before the war that split it up? Wouldn't you say that Lutheran campuses back then may have looked conservative from the outside, but what was the reality on the inside? Well, Baylor is still there. Baylor is still right there, still caught up in the Southern Baptist Civil War of 1978-79 and the decades that come after that. Baylor is the last shoe to drop as far as a lot of moderate Baptists are concerned, moderate meaning liberal, progressive, whatever. And they speak with great conviction we're not going to lose our bailer. And lose our bailer means lose it to the conservatives, biblical conservatives, evangelicals, etc. And what are the big issues that everybody's arguing about now? So the pastor that said this prayer is from Broadway Baptist in Fort Worth, Texas, historic, very famous church, very powerful church, or at least it used to be. And Broadway has long decades of ties to Baylor. Yet this is also a church that in 2010 voted to cut all ties to the Baptist General Convention of Texas over the issue of wanting to be able to do whatever it wanted to do with the ordination of gays and lesbians, active participation in the congregation by gay couples, et cetera, et cetera. So Broadway left the Baptist General Convention of Texas over the issue of the moral status of homosexual behavior. Yet Broadway has all of those decades of symbolism of being a big Baylor church. And so it's not unusual to have the Broadway Baptist pastor praying at a ceremony in which one of his children was among the graduates. Yet at the same time, if you speak fluent Baptist, you're not surprised at all that Broadway Baptist pushed the LGBTQ button and said anybody who opposes that issue is forcing them to sit quietly at the back of the bus, which is comparing sexual orientation to what?
Race.
Race, of course. So, straight white men, not straight men, straight white men behind me, like me, are forcing those other people to sit quietly at the back of the bus. That's pretty loaded language, I'm told, you know, by Baylor friends and sources who were there. I was not there, had no reason to be there. That immediately a huge uproar began, in part because there were many Baylor regents present at graduation, and days earlier, the Baylor regents had refused the latest request to meet with the leaders of the Baylor LGBTQ network, formerly known as the Sexual Identity Quorum. They had refused a meeting, which meant they're not ready to make this gay organization, Gamma Alpha Epsilon, they are not ready to make it a recognized Baylor group, which would give it Baylor student funds. But most important, if you make that an official Baylor group, you are symbolizing that the group's mission is of one accord with Baylor's mission as a, quote, unapologetically Christian, unquote, university.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of a controversial benediction delivered at a Baylor University graduation ceremony. When we come back, how does he evaluate the media coverage of it?
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces.
If you appreciate Issues Etc., Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Wednesday afternoon, we're talking about media coverage of a controversial benediction delivered at a Baylor University graduation ceremony. Terry Mattingly, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, is our guest. So, Terry, how would you evaluate the media coverage of this controversial Baylor benediction?
There's been almost no coverage at all. There has been coverage of the latest request by the LGBTQ group to apply for official status. Excellent coverage in the moderate and other Baptist world. Some coverage of that in the Waco Tribune Herald, as you would expect. Not much elsewhere. But, you know, certain people did commentaries on this happening, which helped spread this into further into the stratosphere of getting media attention. Rod Dreher wrote about it. The Fox News commentator, Todd Starnes, did a commentary on it. Coming at it from a strictly conservative perspective, this seems like a pretty outrageous thing. It is crucial to know that it's very possible that this prayer was an act of protest to the fact that the regions refused to give the LGBTQ group and its campus supporters what they wanted. There had been a letter from Friends of Baylor, our Baylor family, I think was what they called themselves. There had been a Baylor 3,000 insiders, including some current faculty, former regents, donors, etc., signed an open letter from members of the Baylor family. Like I said, our Baylor would be how they would refer to Baylor. And they were calling for recognition of the LGBTQ group. So you had a sighting here of, on this issue, what would be considered kind of the Baylor left did speak openly. Baylor traditional people then responded. The trustees said, we're not going there. And then you have this prayer hit at this extremely public setting to yank that debate back in front of the spotlights.
Basic question, what is the tie, official or unofficial, of Baylor University to either the Southern Baptist Convention or Baptist congregations? What's the actual attachment there?
Well, there was a huge court case. Gosh, I'm getting old. This might have even been 20 years ago. Baylor basically, kind of like, you know, when the House of Lords in Britain voted itself out of power, the Baylor trustees voted themselves, in effect, out of power and created a board of regents that would be self-perpetuating. Until then, you had much more formal ties between Baylor and the Baptist General Convention of Texas. Now, let me stress that the Baptist General Convention of Texas, of which my father was an executive at one point when I was young, was a regional executive within the state of Texas. That's not the right wing of Texas life. There is a Southern Baptist organization to the theological right of the Baptist General Convention of Texas. So the BGCT is already, quote, the moderates. But the BGCT has not gone pro-gay. Because I'm sure within the BGCT there are a lot of different opinions, theological and everything else, about that issue. But Baylor still has trustees, I believe, who come out of a financial arrangement with the BGCT. But Baylor, let's put it this way, I remember someone had great wisecrack about the lawsuit 20-something years ago. Where do you try a court case that is going to come down to the wording of the charter of Baylor University, which is from the Republic of Texas in 1845? What court are you going to try that in?
I assume no Republic of Texas courts exist.
I'm sure they have wanted to reopen them, you know, at several points. The people who want Baylor to be its own republic, I'm sure, have contemplated that. Not Baylor, I should have said Texas, to have Texas return to being a republic. And there are folks who love to talk about that, as Texans will. But, I mean, Baylor's been around so long, I can't stress how symbolic Baylor is in Texas Baptist life. And to a larger degree now, even within National Baptist life. As you can tell, I can go on and on and on about this. But the important thing is Baylor really that divided? I would say yes. Major divisions in Baylor on how to deal with this era that we're in when religious liberty is stuck inside quote marks and nobody wants to stand up to major corporations as well as to liberal forces within academia, etc. Baylor at the same time is in the Big 12, a Power 5 conference made up primarily of state schools. And a number of years ago, there was an application to join the Big 12 by a school called Brigham Young. And the state schools all said, representatives of the state schools, activists from them all said, well, there's no way we can let Brigham Young in here because we know that they won't be willing to do what they need to do on LGBTQ issues, etc. At which point everybody turned and kind of looked at Baylor and said, okay, how long can Baylor stay in the Big 12 unless it compromises? And another truism, football's a pretty big deal in Texas. You were supposed to chuckle.
Well, right? I guess I'm just kind of wondering, how long can Baylor remain the Baylor it has been and not capitulate to the pressures of the state schools
see,
of that conference?
The Baylor that has been was divided. The Baylor that has been started kind of being drug into the limelight by things like Roe v. Wade and the rise of the religious right. And I'm saying this as someone who was like, you know, a Jimmy Carter campaign guy in 1976 on the Baylor campus when I was transitioning from undergraduate to grad school. Baylor has always been a more complex institution than people thought it was. And to some degree, the fact that the liberal colleges that are marginally Christian have continued to get more and more liberal. And then we've had the rise of conservative schools that are more openly and articulately evangelical. What does that do to Baylor? It puts Baylor right in the middle and yanked in both directions totally. And the faculty's divided. If you're at Baylor right now and you're looking for someone who is a doctrinal and moral conservative on the Baylor campus, the odds is just as likely or more likely that they are Roman Catholic, Missouri Synod Lutheran, or Anglican than that they are Southern Baptist. Because that's where you get, or Calvinist, that's where you get kind of the intellectual clout to take a stand on these issues. The Baptist of the Baylor campus would be all over the place, but I know when I was there, I would say the dominant Baptist life of the Baylor campus was Democratic Party and, frankly, pro-abortion rights. Not a lot of protest about Roe when Roe v. Wade happened at Baylor. Baylor had a reputation as a moderate Baptist school. The fundamentalists, the fundies, didn't like Baylor. So the question here is, to what degree is Baylor a Christian university at the level of doctrine that can somehow be defended? And how important is that to the school's reputation, to its fundraising, to its student recruiting, and a lot of other issues? It goes without saying that Baptists don't like creeds. So the minute you start saying that Baylor needs a very articulate doctrinal covenant that can be defended on these kinds of issues, a lot of Baptists are going to freak out at the thought of that. Because, you know, we're just supposed to all be, well, Bill Clinton Baptist, I've got my Bible, I can read it for myself, and my Bible says this. That's a genuinely strong theme for a lot of Baptists. So we live in an era where, to defend itself, schools need articulated doctrine that they are willing to state up front and defend. Now, how hard is it to do that when you're in the Big 12 and you're trying to be a national level research university in this day and age, which includes your graduates getting into the top law schools, the top med schools? You have a law school. Baylor has a med school. Could you imagine the accreditation issues that are emerging on sexuality issues involving having an accredited law school and a med school? I'm not saying Baylor's in an easy position here.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of a controversial benediction delivered at a Baylor University graduation ceremony. Let's talk dollars and cents when we come back.
I'm going to talk about two big trends in American life over the last 50 or 60 years: the decline of institutional Christianity and the growing polarization of our politics.
Ross Douthat of the New York Times talking about his presentation at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
The increasingly strident division between an ideological left and an ideological right. And I'm going to argue that Christianity has weakened precisely because people have become more likely to identify with ideologies than with religious beliefs. And that a recovered Christianity, a more robust public religious faith, is actually an answer to polarization because it gives people an identity that's bigger than partisanship, so they can define themselves as Christians first and liberals or conservatives second.
You can meet and hear Ross Douthat at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference June 7th and 8th in Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
From fast facts to FAQs, overtures to offerings, get the inside scoop on the upcoming National Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the June issue of The Lutheran Witness. Special pre-election coverage includes biographies, personal statements, and interviews introducing readers to each of the three men nominated to serve as Synod President. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. During May, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their ministry of the month, Dakota Boys and Girls Ranch. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU. Good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at LutherAcademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or LutherAcademy.com.
Imagine this. What if you planned your vacation? You picked the location based upon where you knew there was a good Lutheran church. Well, we're here to let you know that if you're planning a Southern Oregon vacation, whether you visit Crater Lake, raft the Rogue, fish for salmon, or head down to the Redwoods, there's still a place for you to receive forgiveness. Faith Lutheran Church in Rogue River, Oregon. What's a vacation without the gospel? Faith Lutheran Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. Visit faithrogueriver.org.
Syndicated columnist Terry Mattingly is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're discussing media coverage of a controversial benediction delivered at Baylor University's graduation ceremony. You can help a college or seminary student attend the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference next week in Chicago by donating a scholarship. Registration is $125. Just go to issuesetc.org/scholarship. That's issuesetc.org/scholarship. Or send a check to Issues Etc. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Please write conference scholarship in the memo line of your check. Terry, before the break, you were talking about the financial issues, and I wonder how much of it really just comes down to that for Baylor and other Christian-associated universities. Baylor has an endowment recorded in 2017 of about $1.25 billion. And I guess what I'm wondering, in a post-Trump administration, we're pretty sure that federal money is going to be tied to capitulation on a lot of the issues controversial there at Baylor.
That's huge for a lot of Christian schools of every conceivable brand. I don't know if I've told you this story before, but it really fits at this point. In 1977, I'm in the Baylor Department of Church-State Studies doing a master's degree that was an interdisciplinary degree in theology, political science, history, and law. So I'm sitting in the seminar room in the Tidwell Bible Building, and there's this case brewing in South Carolina about Bob Jones University. And the issue is Bob Jones has banned interracial dating. So everybody knows this thing is going to be big, and the reports are that it's headed to the Supreme Court, and legal briefs are beginning to be circulated. So I'm literally in the church-state seminar one day when the head of the program, James Leo Garrett III, comes in, tosses some of these briefs on the table and says, "Everybody look at these." We begin glancing through them, and the church-state issues are just howlingly apparent here. And after a while, the director says, "Now, I want you all to understand that in terms of doctrine, I think what Bob Jones is doing is horrible. I believe his phrase was smoke from the pit of hell." He said, "But we're going to get a really bad Supreme Court case out of this," which, of course, the Bob Jones case became exactly that case and became the case that's now being referred to. If you equate sexual orientation with race, the Bob Jones case becomes relevant, and you can strip a school of its tax-exempt status. So he leaned back in his chair. Spring of 77. I'm about, 24 years old at that point, 25? I'm sitting there taking notes. And he says, "In a couple of decades, we're going to get a Supreme Court case that equates sexual orientation with race, and all of Christian higher education will be at risk because of the Bob Jones case that's going to come out." I have that in my notes. And do you see any of, I mean, we can say, well, but Trump gave two new Supreme Court justices. Well, we're all waiting to see. I just came from a conference last week. I spoke at a conference in New York City on these issues, co-sponsored by Yeshiva University, the Orthodox University in Jewish Orthodox University in New York, and Brigham Young University, which does an annual conference on religious liberty issues. And I heard everybody offer every single permutation. And what I came out of that conference with is, we don't know what the court will do. And we don't know if they can come up with a way to compromise that gives America what it clearly wants, which is same-sex marriage and a lot of other things, but at the same time protects the religious liberty rights of people who defend traditional doctrine, centuries of Christian doctrine. Who, when it becomes an issue of tax status and fundraising and campus loans and Big 12 football and ESPN TV broadcasts, who's going to stand at that point if it comes to that? Now, the court might come up with some form of compromise. I personally think it's possible. The issue is whether the court wants to do that. And you and I have been talking about that as long as we've known each other. We all know that a court case is coming. What we see in this Baylor situation and what we see in the disputes about the writings of Rachel Held Evans and the all of these other things and pro-gay rights CCM music stars and all of these other cultural fireworks that keep going off in evangelical culture. We are watching a real division occur within the non-creedal world of evangelical Protestantism. And there's going to be a strong evangelical left. And it's going to be willing to compromise with the state if that becomes a requirement, and others will not. So when this prayer occurred, what you were seeing was that behind-the-scenes argument yanked up into the pulpit at a highly symbolic moment, and we had a spotlight for a moment shining on the Baylor left, which is real, it is powerful, it is there, and Baylor is, yes, that divided. And the Board of Regents know that. The faculty all knows the divisions within itself. The administration has to try to keep both sides happy. And at some point, keeping both sides happy is not possible. At that point, it's time for Baptists to do what they do, which is vote.
Terry, with only about 30 seconds, has the media attention on college graduation ceremonies, has it always been more about the speakers than about the accomplishments of those students who are getting their diplomas?
Well, it's tended that way in part because the documented trend is that the speakers are usually to the left of the constituent groups. I mean, that you have like there's whole websites dedicated to charting politically and morally liberal speakers that you know that speak all over the place. So yeah, it's been about who you can get to speak, and often the other thing you need to watch is who gets the honorary degrees, because that's usually a sign of who the school is attempting to recruit as major donors. So yeah, there's content going on at those big symbolic rituals. And you kind of have to speak the language of the individual school to be able to break the code.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He is founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, talk with you again next week.
You bet. Look forward to it.
We are going to continue our series responding to Calvinist proof texts, looking at 1 Corinthians 1:17, where Paul himself says, Christ did not send me to baptize. How does that bear upon a Calvinist view of baptismal regeneration? We'll be right back.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
The Substitute Organist Service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the Substitute Organist Service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.